Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. Joined this morning by our live blog directors, John Rahor and Jamie Jors. We're getting ready for a Packers Thursday night football game against the Chicago Bears. And to do that, we have a guest on the phone, on the line right now to kick off the show. Coming back for yet another season, we have Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com. We love his insight. Nathan, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing well. How about you?
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks for joining us. Let's get to it right away and start by kind of going over last week's game, the Packers' season-opening loss to the 49ers, as disappointing as that is to a Packers fan. But one of the things that kind of I was most disappointed in was the poor play in the secondary. After going through the game and kind of looking at it, what jumped out to you in the secondary or even the back seven as far as the pass defense goes with the Packers?
Sure. First off, I didn't think the secondary as a unit had that bad of a game. It was
okay.
Really just Jared Bush and Tremont Williams that got thrown at amongst the secondary. Charles Woodson was only thrown at twice, the safeties, other safeties only once each. So out of those, Williams allowed 4 catches, which isn't all that great, and 2 of them were for first downs. But he only allowed 42 yards total, which he allowed more than that, and in some games, significantly more than that, in 11 of his games last year.
Okay.
So even though he allowed those 2 first downs, it wasn't nearly as bad as some of the games we saw out of him last year.
But you're saying then, Jared Bush played poorly.
Oh, yeah, that leaves Bush, who had a bit of trouble when it came to covering hitch routes. So he allowed 3 big catches in the game and was thrown at by far the most of anyone. He was thrown at 7 times. So even though there were some incompletions thrown his way, he allowed 63 yards total, which isn't a terrible game, but it still isn't a good game by any measure.
Well, there but you then go. When... Go ahead. Keep going.
Okay. When you look at the linebackers, though, Nick Perry and A.J. Hawk were thrown at a combined 7 times and allowed 7 catches on every time they were thrown at, and they allowed a total of 72 yards. So I think part of the problem was the linebackers, maybe even more so than the secondary.
Well, there you go, folks. I mean, that there's your silver lining right there. Here I am getting all worried about the secondary coming after the first week, and Nathan Yonke telling us they're playing okay. Elsewhere in the defense, kind of a tale of maybe 2 different players here. Clay Matthews at 1 outside linebacker position, having a really good start offensively. Nick Perry, you kind of alluded it to before. First game ever, but, you know, not really standing out that much in his first game. What can you tell us about the 2 outside linebackers on the Packers?
Sure. First off, Clay Matthews, anytime you get 3 sacks in a game, you can assume that you had a pretty good game pass rushing. Outside of those 3 sacks, he had just 1 hit and no other hurries. So it wasn't as dominant of a game as you would like to see. It was definitely still a good game for Matthews, but we have seen him be even more dominant than that. Outside of that, I found it interesting that he went back into coverage on 29% of his pass plays, which is a little bit more than he went into coverage last year, although he wasn't a liability when he went into coverage. So it was just interesting to see him not rush the passer as much as we're used to seeing out of him. And then on the flip side, Nick Perry, he allowed those catches. He did not come up with any pressure at all in the game. And then on a number of run plays, the tight ends got the best of him when it came to blocking him, and the 49ers tight ends are known a lot more for their receiving than their blocking. So overall, it wasn't a very good debut for Nick Perry.
Let's look at the other side of the football on offense for the Packers. They couldn't really get the running game going with Cedric Benson in the loss to the 49ers. What stuck out there about what the Packers were trying to do with the run game or maybe what they failed to do in the run game?
Sure. First off, they avoided the left side of the field altogether when it came to the run game. All nine of Cedric Benson's carries came either to the left or the right of Josh Sitton. So with that, the only players that really mattered when it came to run blocking were Jeff Saturday, Josh Sitton, and Brian Bulaga. And all three of them had their struggles, each having three or four plays where they had some problem when it came to poor blocking. So really, the problems in the run game came down to those three players, since Cedric Benson really didn't have an opportunity to go anywhere with the football with those three players, allowing a 49er to get to Benson early.
We've talked about a lot of negative things here so far. The Packers' run game giving up pass plays on defense. Let's talk about something positive here. Randall Cobb had a pretty darn good football game, both on special teams and on offense, but pretty unique what he was doing playing out of the backfield. What do you think about Randall Cobb?
Sure, of course, what stands out there is both how they used Cobb and then how well he did with the offense. He played over half the snaps on offense, which is the second most that we've seen out of him in his 2 years. And out of his 38 snaps that he had, 13 came when he was lined up as a halfback in the backfield, which nearly matches the 14 that he had in all of last year. And the rest of his snaps all coming from a slot receiver position rather than an outside receiver, which is to be expected. And then out of that, he caught all nine passes that were thrown his way. 61 of the 77 yards that he had came after the catch, and he caused three players to miss tackles on him. So clearly that was an excellent game and shows that the Packers plan on using Cobb significantly more than they're using Driver, who had just three snaps right at the end of the game this year.
What the Packers now, tomorrow, going to play a nationally televised game against the Chicago Bears. Big NFC North showdown. What can we expect from the Chicago Bears? What stuck out about them in their opening win perhaps against the Colts? Or just at least what should the Packers be aware for on Thursday?
First, they should be ready for the Bears that they're typically used to seeing. They still have their run defense intact. They still have their run game intact. This time around, the Bears' offense looked good against the Colts, with Marshall, Jeffrey, and Earl Bennett all having good games catching the ball. So that might cause the Packers a little problem. But then when it comes to the Bears' defense, they weren't able to come up with much of a pass rush against a Colts offensive line who is full of new players on that line. So I don't think we should be nearly as worried about players getting to Rodgers as we were in the 49er game. And then even though they have some good players in the secondary, such as Tim Jennings, who had a great game, there are definitely holes in the secondary that the Packers have more good receivers than the Bears have players to cover those receivers. So if the Packers' offense can get into rhythm, they could get into a big rhythm this game, and it would overcome what the problems the Packers have had on defense.
Nathan, can you give a little plug for ProFootballFocus.com? Anything new this year? I kind of noticed the site looks a little different than it did last season.
Sure, we have a complete new layout on the site. If you're unfamiliar with Pro Football Focus, what we do is we analyze every player on every play in every game. So we not only see how many plays a player was in for, like I was saying with Randall Cobb, but we also have a grading scale where we grade every player on a scale from 2 to negative 2 on every play. So then we can come up with an overall grade for them in a game, as well as grades broken down by how well they did pass rushing versus how well they did run defense versus how well they did in coverage. So with that, the main new statistic that we have been working on incorporating more is looking at how long it takes for a quarterback to throw the ball, and also how long it takes for pressure to get to the quarterback. So hopefully in the near future, you'll see more of those numbers out there on our site.
Nathan, thank you so much for joining us today. Fantastic stuff. And we'll see you every Wednesday here at Railbird Central.
No problem. Have a good one.
All right. Thanks a lot. Again, Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com joining us here on Railbird Central. Check him out every Wednesday at this time, 8:30 a.m. Going to be doing a weekly thing. And just, you know, the statistical analysis there at ProFootballFocus.com. Nathan talked about it. Fantastic stuff. I encourage you to check it out. It is great. But yeah, let's talk about the Packers' upcoming game against the Chicago Bears here. Talk about the news of the day. I left the link to... No, I didn't. I didn't publish this morning's Packers Daily links yet. I'm going to. Going to be publishing it right after the show. In fact, maybe I'll give you a preview here. The headline or the biggest story I thought today in the... And over the past 24 hours or so in the world of the Green Bay Packers, was Donald Driver basically addressing questions about his playing time. Nathan alluded to it in our interview. He played three snaps at the end of the game. And, Donald Driver not expecting that. Coming into that season opening game, he expected to play more. And then during the game, it didn't really happen. You know, I don't know at what point he expected that, if it was just coming into the season he expected to play more, if it was a game time decision. You know, if Donald Driver came into the game and kickoff comes, he's expecting to play, and then he didn't. You know, that's kind of a different story. But if it was, you know, coming into the season, he expected to play more, but, you know, he was kind of told by the coaches he wouldn't play all that much. Well, a little bit different story. You know, Donald Driver basically saying it sucks. In fact, I think that I can quote him on that, or at least that was the quote I saw in the Green Bay Press Gazette, I believe. But, you know, saying, you know, playing the role of good soldier, though, he basically keeping a positive outlook, and it could be a case where Donald Driver gets a larger role as soon as tomorrow. We said it before, he played three snaps at the end of the last game. The reason he played three snaps in the season opening loss to the 49ers, he probably wouldn't have played at all, but Greg Jennings hurt his groin there right at the end of the game, like the last series or right before the last series, that allowed Driver to come into the game. And, you know, the status of Greg Jennings is kind of up in the air for Thursday. Don't know what's going to happen. And so Donald Driver could see an increase in playing time if Jennings perhaps is held out. We don't really know what's going to happen with Greg Jennings. Packers practiced today, their final time practicing before Thursday's game. So that could kind of be an indication of maybe what Jennings' status is. Because first of all, we'll learn if he practiced or not, and if he did practice, that would certainly be a good sign. Even if he doesn't practice, I wouldn't say that would necessarily rule him out. You know, Greg Jennings isn't, you know, at this point in his career, he's the kind of guy that could miss a week of practice and still play in a game. He is that good and that experienced. But on top of that, the Packers will probably release their injury report as far as our players probable, questionable, or doubtful, or out for Thursday's game. So we'll see what designation Greg Jennings gets here before Thursday's game. So obviously a big player in the Packers offense, a multiple-time Pro Bowler, and possibly Donald Driver, a multiple-time Pro Bowler, replacing him, or at least getting a bigger role with the absence of Greg Jennings, perhaps, potentially. We don't know. We wait and see. DJ Protege comments on our live blog, not good for Jennings' future in Green Bay. Yeah, you know what? Greg Jennings kind of broke off, or I don't know if I shouldn't say Greg Jennings did this, but a choice between him, his agent, and the Packers, kind of putting any negotiations on hold, seeing as they couldn't come to a contract extension before the season. Basically, I mean, nothing's happening right now in terms of contract talks. I mean, that could change in a phone call. But you know what? Greg Jennings didn't do anything special in the first game of the season against the 49ers, and now he might be out. And, you know, this really doesn't help his case to get a nice big contract extension or not even extension, just a contract from anyone if he hits free agency. You know, what happens if Jennings misses a few games or just maybe doesn't have as good of a season as he hoped? He might not get as big a payday as perhaps he hoped or anything along those lines. So that's kind of really worth watching as well. So kind of an underrated storyline there, Greg Jennings' contract situation. Pardon me. And how it all works out in the end. So, Packers getting ready. Big game against the Chicago Bears on Thursday. It'll be our last broadcast here before the game. We only air Monday, Wednesdays, Fridays here at Railbird Central. So kind of looking at this game a day ahead of time. But big showdown. I mean, the Packers, we said it on Monday, they're coming in to this game last place in the NFC North. They're the only team to lose in week one. Only team to lose in week one. So, in the NFC North, we're talking about Bears, Vikings, Lions all win. So, Packers in last place. And again, we're only talking after 1 week. But already digging themselves out of a hole. So, it kind of makes this week's showdown against the Bears really kind of important. I mean, every game's important, but I mean, you just don't want to fall two games behind in the NFC Central so early. I mean, I suppose if you're going to fall behind at any time, early would be the way to do it. Heck, as we're seeing right now, the Milwaukee Brewers making a playoff push all of a sudden. Everybody left them for dead in July. So if you're going to fall out of contention, do it early. Because you got a lot of time to make it up. All of a sudden, the Milwaukee Brewers are hot. They're four games out of the wild card chase. They're running out of time. There's only about 2 weeks to play in the baseball season. But the Packers got a whole season in front of them. Packers have a whole season in front of them yet. And want to get, you know, off the schneid, as Chris Berman would say. Why am I quoting Chris Berman on Thursday against the Chicago Bears? The Packers, I don't think they're going to lose. I just can't see them starting 0-2 with both games at home. By no means do I think is it going to be an easy game against the Bears. It always seems like every game against the Bears is a challenge, isn't it? Doesn't it seem that way? I mean, there are very few times where the Packers really take it to the Bears. Most of the times, it is just always a struggle. And you know, thankfully, the Packers have usually come out on top. But it's rarely an easy game. Rarely do they have those blowouts against them. And the Packers, over the past few seasons, have blown a few opponents out. Not everyone, but there's been a few here and there. But the Bears, typically not one of them, typically playing the Packers pretty tough. And I expect it to be the same on Thursday. You know, they get the new addition on offense, Brandon Marshall. And, you know, I don't know how closely you follow the Bears. Even I don't follow the Bears that closely. But, you know, sometimes it's hard to miss these things. You know, they haven't had a 1,000-yard receiver in Chicago since 2001, 2002, something like that. You know, we're talking almost a decade now. And you just go like, wow. I mean, with the way just the NFL in general is trending toward the passing game and you know, just offenses out there dropping back 50 times a game, you got to think like, man, it's even by accident, you know, that the Bears would have a 1,000-yard receiver or something like that. But so now they go out and get Brandon Marshall, and they have a legitimate number one wide receiver. Brandon Marshall's very talented. Being reunited with Jay Cutler, of course, those two were in Denver together, and now they're together in Chicago, and Brandon Marshall has a very good first game of the regular season against the Colts. Yes, it's against the Colts, but the Bears win. Marshall has, what, 119 yards he had that game, had a touchdown, and it was, you know, an interesting start to the season for them. So the Packers going to have to game plan against that. See, here we go. On the live blog, the discussion is already turning toward the negative here. P. Nick comments, if only the Bears got to throw against Jared Bush every game, they would have a 3,000-yard wide receiver. Yeah, so let me chime in about Jared Bush. I wrote a column on him at Cheesehead TV this week. It's still on the homepage. I published it like 2 days ago, but it's still up there if you want to go check it out. It's some like, I titled the column, I Still Love Jared Bush, But Yes, It's Time for Sam Shields. And yeah, that's basically my sentiment. And I start out by saying, you know what, Jared Bush, he is... P-Nick saying, here we go, the Jared Bush apologist. I just said, it's time for Sam Shields. I acknowledged that. Here's what we're saying about Jared Bush, though. His best position on defense is as a slot cornerback. And you know what? Jared Bush never gets to play the slot cornerback position because in 7 years now, Charles Woodson never gets hurt, rarely sits. In 7 years, Charles Woodson has missed like 3 regular season games, something like that, something crazy. And kudos to him for always being healthy and available. But if Jared Bush actually played the slot, he would do pretty well, I think. Because it really plays to his strengths. Everybody knows on the team, Jared Bush is a good physical football player, a good tackler, right? We know he's a great special teams player, but we're talking about defense right now. And if he were to play slot more, he, I think, would be a good defensive player. But, I mean, Charles Woodson holds that job. And so Jared Bush never plays there. But so, you know, they give him a shot at the perimeter cornerback position. And, he just struggles there. He struggles in coverage. He struggles keeping up with wide receivers. You saw it on Sunday, giving up receptions to Vernon Davis, to Randy Moss. And Jared Bush just, you know, having a difficult time. Like Nathan Yonke said, it could have been worse. It could have been worse. There's certainly, you know, what they say, Jared Bush gave up 60 yards or what was it, 40? It was Tremont Williams gave up 40 yards and Jared Bush 60, something like that. But still, you know, struggling coverage, had the pass interference penalty and not doing well. And I think what you do with Jared Bush is you just keep him in your dime defense because that the dime defense, the Packers in the past haven't used it all that much. That's the only time you put two slot cornerbacks on the field. So you can have Charles Woodson and Jared Bush both in the slot, each on different sides of the field at the same time in the dime package. So I think you keep him there. You let him do that. But you basically insert Sam Shields as your starter in both the dime package, or pardon me, dime two, in everything. You know, basically, he is the perimeter corner opposite Tremont Williams, or should be. You know, base defense, nickel package, dime package. Sam Shields should be out there. You know, the Packers sent a message. The Packers sent a message to Sam Shields late last season when he got his demotion during the playoffs. And it's basically, he's been demoted all the way through the offseason, through the team's first game of the year here, because he wasn't playing physical last year. Really didn't tackle anybody. And so, with that happening, I think Jarrett Bush has finally gotten the message. He's like, okay, it's either I am not going to play or I'm going to have to play physical. And it certainly looked like he is finally playing physical. He had that nice tackle on Frank Gore, you know, coming up short of the first down against the 49ers. And this, you know, go back to the preseason. I think every, you know, once the preseason's over, everybody kind of forgets about it. But Sam Shields had a really good preseason. He had two interceptions and also showed that he was willing to tackle during those games as well. I think it's time to make the change there again. And you make him a starter and he's a three-down player, Sam Shields is. I think you got to make that change there and just have Bush on the dime package, have him on special teams, and have him as an injury backup, you know, not starting basically. But so that's what I think you do there in the secondary. So a lot of interesting things happening in the secondary. Of course, you know, we can talk about as well the starter in the nickel safety, MD Jennings, also got demoted mid-game against the 49ers. He struggles. And then Jerron McMillan comes in mid-game to take over. So now the question is there, is Jerron McMillan take over that job full-time now? We'll see whether that was just a one-game thing, trying to send a message to MD Jennings, or is it, you know, a full-time thing? I don't know. We'll find out on Thursday when the Packers play the Bears, what kind of changes the Packers are going to make in the secondary. I think you go with the rookie McMillan too. So I think you make Shields the starter. I think you make McMillan your nickel safety. And it, you know what? I mean, people were kind of high on MD Jennings, I thought, this offseason. And, you know, I guess I want to be positive about him too. But really, folks, what has MD Jennings ever done? Quick, on the live blog, name the most memorable moment MD Jennings has ever had, preseason game or regular season game, in a Packers uniform. What's the most memorable thing that stuck out in your mind about MD Jennings? Nothing. Nothing. Look at this. I'm seeing a bunch of wrong answers on the live blog. Mike says getting drafted. MD Jennings wasn't even drafted. DJ Protege says picked off Rodgers and family night. That wasn't MD Jennings. That was Brandon Ross. MD Jennings has done squat for the Packers. He played on special teams last year and maybe did a couple okay things on special teams. Still nothing though. Really, I mean, I don't see why MD Jennings is out there. I wish him the best, but my goodness, I mean, he's done nothing yet for the Packers. So, and I just think Jerron McMillan has a higher ceiling than MD Jennings. I wish them both the best. DJ Protege says, okay, here's the deal. We miss Collins. No doubt about it. Packers miss Collins. I pointed this out on Twitter yesterday, too. In year three, we are still waiting for Morgan Burnett to make good on his potential. It's now year three, and I realize he's had injury issues, totally. But still, what has Morgan Burnett done for the Packers in three seasons now? And I realize we're early into season number three. He's had a few interceptions, but even those, there were a few that just came to Morgan Burnett. He didn't even have to do anything. They just kind of were floated right to him. All he had to do was catch the ball. Morgan Burnett hasn't done anything yet in a Packers uniform, hardly. He's done more than MD Jennings. I'll give him that. But still, I mean, we're talking about a guy that people had high hopes about. There's a lot of issues in the secondary, you know, between Jarrett Bush, MD Jennings, Morgan Burnett, and these other guys aren't infallible either. It's tough. It's tough. Kevin Lamb points out on the live blog, Pepra's better than MD. There you go. Anyhow, it's past 9 o'clock. That's going to do it here on Railbird Central for a Wednesday. Thank you, everybody, so much for joining us. And thank you to Nathan Yonke for joining us, as he will every Wednesday here on the show. But, yeah, thanks for joining us. Enjoy the game tomorrow, everyone. We'll be back on Friday morning. In fact, Friday morning, Packers tight end Tom Crabtree will join us on the show to talk about Thursday's game against the Chicago Bears. Hopefully, we'll be talking about a win, actually. So look forward to that. So we'll see you then, folks. Have a great Wednesday. And go Pack Go. I leave you today with a song called Sometimes a River by String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone.